St. John's is one of the legendary names in all of college basketball. Has it fallen on tough times? Yes, it has. But now we're ready to fall on great times. We're ready to raise it up. Raise this roof up. Because St. John's is going to be back. I guarantee it.
Everybody is on the floor, but have no time left. One free throw will win it. And stunned it. The senior wins it. St. John's has scored the last 12 points of the game. The shot through.
The NBA three is baked in by Harrison.
It's his night. Get him the ball.
Blow by. And the turnover. Numbers for St. John's. Trailer. Soriano with the dunk.
You are now listening to the Eye of the Storm podcast.
What's going on, Johnny Nation? Welcome to episode 105 of the Eye of the Storm podcast. My name is David Barham. It took 35 days, but St. John's put the first tally on the board for a recruit as they landed Vincent Iwachukwu from USC on April 23rd and followed that up the next day with Aaron Scott, a transfer from North Texas, to add to the St. John's roster as the pieces are starting to come together. Now, there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. There's a lot of things for us to cover, but St. John's has their first two recruits in year two of the Rick Pitino era. There have been players that have left. There are players that are here, but the Johnnies in year two, after missing the NCAA tournament, are finally starting to come together. I know the fan base has been impatient. I know the fan base has been waiting. And the 35 days, it was tough to sit through. But there's finally something to talk about. You heard me at the end of Bob Walsh. You heard me at the end of a few of the other episodes. When things start happening, we're going to be back here. Well, for a little bit, I didn't know if Frank would be with me. Because if you've been paying attention, Frank's been a little bit hot and cold. You know, for a little while, Frank was with us, you know, patience. I was on the patience side. I knew things were going to work out. I'm privy to some things that are happening behind the scenes. I'm waiting it out. Our boy Frank over here lost some of that patience about a week and change ago. And I'm trying to keep him off the ledge. And he wouldn't. And he just inched closer and closer and closer. He started saying some things and I got concerned. And then my phone started to blow up. And it was like, Dave, what's going on with Frank? Why doesn't he believe? What is he saying? Why is he doing this? And I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to reel him in. It's not working. But Frank, St. John's has landed two players. They are in the midst of a lot of exciting rumors. We're going to get to that at the end. But right now, there's a lot of egg on your face. And I got to call you out for it because your patience that ran out, It's making you look a little silly right now, and I think you owe a lot of people an apology right now because they thought they lost you, and I'm here to reel you back in. I got to pull you back. I got to grab that shirt of yours and pull you back off the ledge because I think you are off that ledge now. St. John's has their first two commits. There's a total of 10 guys on the roster now. There are three empty spots left. There's a lot of questions of where they're going to go from here, but I think, Frank, the first thing we have to acknowledge is that you lost your cool a little bit. You were wrong for it. I think you look silly for it. I definitely didn't agree with you, and I was worried for your sanity and for a lot of other things, but I think we're good now. The red shirt, the St. John's, it's all back. You know, the red mustache that we talked about last year, it's all back. He's back with us, guys. Frank Bofetta here with me again.
I am not a patient man by nature, so to be as patient as I was for as long as I would, it took a lot of effort for me, and I lost it. Yeah, I got to my wit's end. There was, you know, a few bits of bad news in a row. Jerry Roach and, you know, a couple others, Amari Williams, Colton Freya, he wasn't going to us, and Cliff was off visiting Alabama, and you know, so I did. I lost my cool a little bit, and it is. It is what it is. You know, I'm back. Things are looking up and positive in the right direction, and you know, I've been wiping this egg off of my face for years for having doubted this staff and Rick Pitino on transfer portal recruiting.
and that's kind of like the first thing, right? We've talked about during the season some of the decision-making that the staff made, whether it's Rick and substitution patterns. And, you know, we were critical and questioning. And, you know, there's been some people that thought that we shouldn't do that. But that's here, not here nor there. When it comes to the recruiting, though, in my opinion, what we have seen, especially today, we're recording this on April 25th. What we have seen is how patience can pay off. Now, St. John's came into the recruiting season having lost a lot of pieces, needing to fill about 6 to 7 spots. They knew where those holes were going to be, and it just took a little while. Now, it started with Bensley Joseph was the first guy who they were flirting with. A guard was coming from Miami, which is going to be a trend later on. And he ends up coming on a visit, and St. John's passes on him. He ends up committing to Providence. So you're going to be seeing him twice later on this season. After that, there's a few other visits that end up coming down the pike. Kirk Creasa was a guard. Last year played at West Virginia, and he ends up coming on a visit. St. John's ends up passing on him. I heard that it was sort of a mutual decision, but St. John's staff decided that, you know, it just wasn't a real good fit. Then there was a big fish that came on, and Creasa hasn't committed anywhere yet. Amari Williams, big man from Drexel, 6'10", shooter, passer, really solid big man. Comes on the visit. St. John's is in his final three, but he ends up going to visit Kentucky on his last visit. Puts out a final three with St. John's, Mississippi State, and Kentucky on it. He puts the three out. He hasn't even visited Kentucky yet. So my antennas and radar went up. I'm like, all right, this doesn't seem good. Next thing we know, there's pictures of new Kentucky coach Mark Pope and Amari Williams at Keeneland. And within hours, he commits to Keeneland. So it's too bad we don't got Belmont going on to woo a few recruits. So that happens. And so that's where guys like Frank start to get upset. But the other thing that started to happen is that there's been a lot of rumors about guys who St. John's were attached to coming into the portal season. The big one, Cliff Amore, big man from Rutgers. There were connections to the staff there from years ago. He was a local guy. His host family is nearby. And allegedly, the story goes that he wanted to stay locally. Well, it's been almost a month and change into the portal season. He hasn't been on an official visit yet to St. John's. He already visited Georgetown. He is visiting Alabama this weekend. And allegedly, he's also visiting Kansas State. So where's the St. John's interest? And so that's where people get upset. And that's where everybody is like, hey, what's going on? Why isn't St. John's getting active? And so I do understand where the patience runs out, but that's kind of your big overview in regards to what's kind of been going on in the last 35 days before St. John's got their first two commits. And Frank, I mean, I know you want to probably give a little bit of color to how you felt and kind of what your feelings were over these, you know, guys that St. John's recruited and guys that St. John's potentially quote unquote missed on. And honestly, you know, that's a phrase that you hear often right now in social media that, you know, they missed on a recruit, but St. John's consciously made a decision to pass on two guys. If there's a guy that they quote unquote missed on, the only one that really said no to them is Amari Williams right now. That's kind of where it's at. So it's not like St. John's is taking these big swings and misses. So I understand, you know, you want action. I get it. Fans want something to talk about. It's not fun. You know, we haven't turned this mic on in quite a while, but there was nothing to talk about. I'm not going to sit here and say, St. John's is reaching out to this guy. Guys, all those lists that you see of player XYZ got contacted by St. John's. A lot of times that's just a text message to a parent or maybe to the kid or to a handler. You know, there's not a lot of merit to that. And I wouldn't go too crazy about all of those. It's not until you see lists start whittling down on top sevens or top tens or getting a guy on the visit. That's where I personally start to take notice of when there's real interest. But Frank, I mean, you just kind of go through your emotions over the last few days. Obviously, I mentioned that, you know, you were upset, but, you know, I think I kind of painted the picture of why most of the fan base was getting a little antsy. And I think you were kind of in the midst of that.
You know, like I said, for me, I think when I got to my word point with you earlier this week, it was, you know, all those things kind of happened in a short span where it looked like Cliff was going to Alabama, or at least was not interested, really not interested in St. John's for whatever reason. It looked like Aaron Scott was about to go to Oklahoma for a moment. That turned out to be a little bit of fake news. And then we ended up, you know, winning that one out in the end. You see these whiffs and you start thinking back, and Jeremy Roach also, I mean, obviously that's a big swing that they took, and never expect to get a guy like that, but it did turn out, the schools he was focusing on, and you were one of them. And it was only like four or five schools, I think, on his list that he was focusing on. And he just marches right to Baylor for an amount that I don't think we could pay to a single player. So, all those things happening at once. And then you look back and say, we're missing on a couple of these guys. We missed on Amari Williams. We missed on Roach. And you look back and say, well, are we really too good for Bensley Joseph? We're really too good for, Kirk Creasa. These guys are, quality players, especially, I think Kirk Creasa is a really, really great player. Led a Arizona team in Sweet 16. 33-win season. So that was, he's a very good point guard. He got his warts like a lot of players do, college. Every player's got some weaknesses that stand out. His, turnovers sometimes can be an issue, but I think he's just a really good distributor. He's a good shooter last year. So, looking back and saying, well, you pass on these guys and now we're whipping on guys. What's going on here? And at that point, at that particular point in time, it just didn't look like we were close with anybody of substance or meaning, especially if we, ripped on Scott as far as an impact holder goes.
Let's get to the good news. St. John's gets on the board, as I mentioned. Earlier this week, the first addition to St. John's is Vincent Iwachukwu, 7'1", 245, big man from USC. First thing, if you start looking this guy up, you're going to hear about a very unfortunate incident. On July 1st, 2022, he suffered a cardiac arrest in a summer practice. USC trainers used an AED to revive him. Apparently, the story goes that he went to go for a rebound, and one of his assistant coaches noticed that he didn't come down with the same authority on that rebound, and he asked if he was okay after he sat down. He went to go get some water. He said he felt overly tired, and then all of a sudden, he just got really dizzy. He went to go drink some water, and that's the last thing he remembered. And the staff started CPR. They were yelling at him to stay awake, and they were yelling at his name. And Coach Mobley on the USC staff was the one that was just yelling at him, like, listen, don't die, don't die. Luckily, they got him up. And so that was July 1st. January 12th, he made his way back. Lots of rehab, lots of PT, and he got cleared for basketball activity. He said that he didn't think he was ever going to play basketball again. He said he wasn't mentally there for a long time. He was scared. He was questioning if he would be there athletically. But January 12th, he did come back and made his debut for USC on the court. He was limited to only 14 games that year. He did have five starts. He averaged 5.4 points, 2.5 rebounds, one block, 13.9 minutes per game that year, shot over 50% from the field. Later that offseason, he did have back surgery to fix a lumbar situation. But here's the positive. In his second year with USC, played 31 games. To me, that's really important here because a lot of people are going to ask about his health. Obviously the cardiac arrest thing is huge, but then the back issue could potentially linger. You play 31 games, there's 11 starts in there. I think that that's important and kind of starts to, quell a little bit of that concern. I know for a fact that St. John's did their due diligence in regards to his medical. And here's the other thing. This kid was the 25th best recruit in the 22 class, according to the 247 composite. He was one of the most highly sought after big men in the class. He was ahead of guys like Donovan Clingan and a lot of other high end names. So St. John's is getting a guy that at one point had a insane ceiling. I think he still does. I think that that's why it is so interesting of an addition. Now, he doesn't have any big numbers. It's not eye-popping yet, but there's potential there. And I know that that's what Rick Pitino likes. I talked to somebody on the staff who told me that Vince Iwachukwu is the type of big man that Rick Pitino loves and the kind of big man that thrives in Rick Pitino's system. Now, Frank, I know that you weren't super over the moon with this signing initially, but can you see the upside in what Vince could be? At 7'1", 245, he's got legit size. This isn't a skinny dude. This is a man, all right? He's going into year three. He's played at a high level in regards to at USC. So it's not like he's coming from a really low level in a league. I think there's a lot of potential here, and I think that his athleticism is something that is really going to be different for St. John's in the paint coming off of what we saw last year at that position. You know, Joel, not exactly the most athletic guy, obviously better last year, but this is going to be a stark contrast to what St. John's had in the paint this year.
He's got all the physical tools. I'm not worried about his physical tools at all. I think he's athletic. He's obviously, that you mentioned, he's a grown man. He's a big boy. He'll be strong. He's not going to get bullied down low. And it'll probably be the strongest pick in the league, to be honest, thinking about who the other guys have off the top of my head. So you love all those things. Obviously, potential and upside, you know, there's busts in the top 25, you know, recruits every year. He hasn't shown it in 2 years. You know, even with Zuby last year, you were looking at him saying, yeah, we didn't produce much at Kansas. But if you look at his, you know, per 40 numbers, they jump off the charge at you because his per 40 numbers were like 13 blocks a game and five blocks a game and 13 rebounds a game, where Zuby's per 40 numbers at Kansas. You just don't see those kind of eye-popping per 40 numbers from Vince. So, you know, he was not making as much of his limited minutes as Zuby was at Kansas. So, you know, that worries me a little bit. And like I said, you know, you got a season and a half, I guess, of tape and of history that says, you know, maybe he doesn't have that potential. But if anybody can unlock that potential, it'll be Rick Pitino. And certainly I feel a little bit better about this now as we see kind of where the vision is and where the rest of the roster is heading. I'm definitely a lot more upset about it a week ago when it looked like we weren't going to land, or even like 5 days ago, we weren't going to land a better big man or front court mate.
You know, what's interesting is that I looked back to his high school recruiting and I looked at some scouting reports for him. And one of them said that he had a really good looking release on his jump shot. He's developing that touch all the way back to the 3-point line. And then if you kind of look at his numbers at USC, he didn't really shoot it much at all. And the other thing that I do kind of keep in the back of my mind is that at USC, I mean, look who was on that roster in regards to the big names. And, you know, you had, not necessarily at his position, but just the kind of in general, you know, Isaiah Collier, obviously Bronny James, DJ Rodman was on that team. There was a lot of guys on that team that I think maybe Andy Enfield felt that he had to play and kind of maybe couldn't get Vince into the rotation as much. This is me purely speculating. Again, I wasn't watching USC that much. So that's just kind of me thinking that it could have been an option there. But, you know, Rick Pitino, after Vince committed, said that he put Vince through a player development session, as he does with every recruit who comes on a visit. And he said, I knew I had to have him in a Johnny's uniform. Awesome attitude, work ethic, 7'1", 250, agile. Mobile, shoots the heck out of it. That was the part that stood out to me, you know, because everything that I saw, I watched a bunch of his highlights. He's not a shooter. He didn't really do that. And the fact that he showed Rick that he could shoot it, you know, what that reminds me of is Zuby on his visit and his workout, because Rick said kind of the same thing. And we saw how great Zuby was for St. John's in the first year. Zuby had a lot to do with this recruitment as well. And he and Vince know each other. They're all Texas guys. Aaron Scott, also from Texas. So Vince and Zuby played against each other at AAU. Zuby was instrumental in bringing Vince to Queens. Zuby toured Vince on campus. They went to dinner together. It was a huge part of that. And I think that familiarity is really important. And I think that I don't think there's much to lose here. And you're getting a guy that's got potentially 2 years left in him. I like it. And the size, you know, what do we always say? You can't teach 7'1".
Sure. And you know, you mentioned the shooting. You know, that's the thing that I think jumped out at me is, you know, even around the rim, he lacks a little bit of touch. You know, I saw one highlight video where they said strengths, offensive rebounding, and the next 8 clips were him getting an offensive rebound and breaking the putback from a couple feet away. So he's definitely got some work to do there. But like you said, he's got an incredible work ethic. I mean, to come back from a heart attack in 6 months and be playing at Division I level is very special. And to do that and the back injury, to come back and keep fighting and playing and you know, wanting to be on that court. Like I said, with Rick Pitino, if anybody can unlock a potential, it's going to be Rick Pitino. And with that attitude and Rick Pitino, certainly anything's possible, because again, he's got those physical tools and he's got the body want from a big man in Rick Pitino's system.
And Vince chose St. John's over SMU, where Andy Enfield went to go take over the program. So Andy tried to bring him with him, obviously says a lot about him. And according to sources, Eric Musselman tried to kind of keep him at USC also at the end, but Vince decided to come to New York. Again, I like it. I think it's a solid piece. I think once you start seeing the roster come together, when you get a guy that's big, that long, he can also defend multiple positions because he's very athletic. He won't be somebody that gets beat on switches, which is something that also I like about Aaron Scott, who the day after Vince Iwuchukwu signed, Aaron Scott joined. Now, you guys might remember Aaron Scott, North Texas, St. John's played them in Charleston. Frank, you and I were right there. We got to see him up close and personal, as did St. John's. He had 13 points in that game, 7 rebounds. So St. John's definitely made a note of it. But I do know for a fact that coming into that game, Aaron Scott was the game plan to stop in that game. He had 2 really good games before the St. John's game, but I think he was averaging something like 21 points per game leading into that game. He's somebody that has gotten better every single year at North Texas, and it was a solid addition. If you look kind of across the landscape, most people said that Aaron Scott was one of the top forwards in the country. He's 6'7", can play the 3 and the 4. I think that's where he's really going to be used. Shot 37% from 3 last year, shot 40% the year before that, and he's one of those prototypical 3-and-D guys, very strong defensively, known for being a really solid shot blocker as well. Again, another guy that can guard multiple positions. I think you could see him guard the 2, 3, 4. I think he'll play sparingly at the 4, and mainly he'll be a wing on the 3. 11 points per game, 5.6 rebounds per game, 1.8 assists per game, 1.3 blocks per game, and 1.1 steals per game last year for North Texas. He filled it up really solid. I really like this addition.
I really like this addition too. He's very long. He's very versatile. I had somebody from the Trilly Donovan Discord fan telling me, he can guard 1 through 4. We'll see about the 1, but I think 2 through 4, he's definitely capable of guarding. At this level, you look at his advanced metrics defensively, really good. Steal percentage, block percentage, personal foul efficiency, which is one I discovered last year that I've really come to like. It's, how many blocks and steals you're getting for each personal foul, 82nd percentile in that. So, he does a lot of defensively from filling up the stat sheet defensively, but also just if you watch him, he stays in front of guys and keep guys in front of him, and he can just walk through from his line.
North Texas had a really good year last year. I think that when we saw them in Charleston, we were like, it was 53-52, I think, was the final in that score. It was a defensive battle. St. John's pulled it out by 1. But we would learn that that would be their identity the rest of the year. Really grinded out, really good defensive team. And they were a team that was a quad 1 win for St. John's a long way. They gave a lot of fits to UAB and Memphis and other guys in there and SMU in their conference. So they were a solid team all year, and Aaron Scott was a big reason for that. He said, Rick Pitino, he's a Hall of Famer. Who doesn't want to be coached by him? I just know that I'm going to get way better there. I want to go to the league. That's the ultimate goal. And I feel that I have the best chance to do that at St. John's. So, what's interesting is that I spoke to Aaron Scott's father. And after, they committed, I asked him, I was like, what was the visit like? How was the workout with Rick? And did that game against St. John's in Charleston, did it have any kind of a lasting memory? And, he said, obviously, the visit went great. The workout was intense. It was something that Aaron never experienced. It was an NBA workout. And that showed us that Coach P knows what he's doing and can get Aaron to the next level. And he said that there was a lasting memory from the North Texas game at St. John's in Charleston. He said Aaron stole the ball and went coast to coast for a slam, and he was met at the rim by Zubi. He said that showed him that St. John's was not a team that was going to give you anything easy. They were impressed because some teams would just, tell the guy to get out of the way. He says he thinks Coach Pitino is going to use Aaron really as a 3-and-D guy. Aaron loves the defense. He thrives in it, and he's going to be able to shoot the 3 a lot. He's a good passer to the big man on the block, and they're really excited to be at St. John's. I think that the fit makes a lot of sense. I think you're going to see a lot of people kind of call him something similar to Glenn Taylor, what he was to St. John's. I think he's a little better than that. I think he's a better shooter, had more volume, and his defense is incredible. I think the St. John's really going to like what he can bring to the roster.
I concur. I mean, he's pretty good against us down there in Charleston, and he was. You just mentioned Glenn Taylor, a little bit of the comparison that jumped out for me is that, you know, he scored 11 points per game, which doesn't jump off the page at you. But again, just like Glenn Taylor at Oregon State, one of the slowest offenses in the country. So, you know, you can add another point for Chuan there. He was playing in a slightly faster paced offense, you know, relatively efficient from the field, 48% from the field on his career and 36% from three on his career. So, you know, those numbers dipped a little bit last year, going from CUSA to the AAC. His shooting percentage jumped from 58 down to 42. So, you know, that's a little bit worrisome, but I do think you can get at least what you get in the AAC out of him with Rick and a little bit of development, a little bit of coaching.
So let's look at the current roster. I mentioned there's three spots left. Your guards are Simeon Wilcher, Jaden Glover, freshman coming in, and Leftaris Liotopoulos, also another freshman coming in. If you look at those three guards, you got some solid shooting there. Obviously, Glover and Liotopoulos, we'll see what happens, but both have been really good shooters in the high school level. And Liotopoulos, obviously overseas, known for being a really solid three-point shooter, but a guy that could also handle the ball. Now, we know how Rick is with the freshmen. We'll see how they get inputted. You know, I don't expect them to be playing, you know, 10, 12 minutes a game. Just don't think it's in the cards. But Liotopoulos is big, 6'5". Glover is 6'5", 6'6", as well. Can shoot it. Really solid defensive athlete as well. The forwards, RJ Lewis, as I mentioned, he is currently recovering from the surgery, but he is your starting three guard. He is going to be there. He is your man. He is likely one of your top scorers. You add Aaron Scott now. We'll see what kind of role they have for him. Zubi Ejiofor. Is he your starting four? Maybe. Likely your backup 4-5, but he's going to have a very big role on this team. Brady Dunlap expected to take a step up as well as Sadiku Ayo as the other forward. And your centers are Vincent Iwachukwu and another freshman in Kamon Maker. Again, Maker, not sure how much he's going to play, but he's 7-1. There's going to be a learning curve there. Three spots remain. Now, everybody has kind of known by this point that there is a legal proceeding that is being put forth in regards to Jordan Dingle and Chris Ledlam trying to get one more year. I've been told that that's starting to move forward, and there should be some kind of resolution within 3 to 4 weeks from the time of this recording. That's the hope. I have been told that the staff would welcome both guys back. I know that there is a big need right now for scoring and a two guard. So Jordan Dingle coming back would be a home run on this roster right now. It would be tremendous for the growth of Wilcher, I think, the comfortability, as well as with Luis and some of these other guys. But man, if you could get 14, 15, 16 points per game, what you were getting at the end of the season from Jordan Dingle onto this roster, hey, that's going to be a big-time win. And you know, there's a saying going on right now, sometimes the best get is the one that you already have, and I think Jordan Dingle would certainly qualify there.
Spoken many times about the importance of continuity, and if you look at the top teams in our league, you look at the teams that made the Final Four with the exception of Alabama, there's a lot of continuity. They bring a lot of guys back, and even if you look at the best regular season teams like Houston, also returned a ton of guys last year and just added one or two key portal pieces. So for me, continuity is huge. You've already got, you know, four rotation pieces coming back, three of them expected to play pretty big minutes, I would think, with Zubi, Sim, and RJ. So if you can add another major piece to that, another guy who's going to play 25 plus minutes a game back in here in the system again, and a guy who frankly figured it out the last 6 or 7 games of last season in Rick's system and finally was starting to hit his stride and look comfortable when we got snubbed to the tournament. You know, bringing him back and getting that extra continuity with him would be, you know, a godsend. I think you might be able to find another guy like that in the portal, but it's certainly a lot easier just to hopefully win this legal battle and get Dingle back in full, because that would be a phenomenal get.
You're not going to find another guy that could do that and has a year under Rick Pitino under his belt. I mentioned some Texas connections. There is another connection with Aaron Scott and Zubi Ejiofor. So Zubi getting a big credit for a lot of these recruits, but Zubi and Aaron played for Houston Hoops AAU team and EYBL. Zubi was younger than Aaron. So they didn't play on the same team, but they did practice together and they do know each other. And Zuby had a hand in Vince's recruitment. I spoke to a source close to Zuby who said that I've never seen Zuby this excited about fellow players on his team. And so that familiarity is really, really something that they're enjoying as well. So there was a Texas trio last year of Danis Jenkins, Zuby Ejiofor, and Cruz Davis. Well, there's a new one now at Queens: Vince Iwechukwu, Zuby Ejiofor, and Aaron Scott. Now, let's get into some of this recruiting stuff because there's rumors flying all over the place. The need, and that's where we have to start, because what does St. John's need right now? Well, it's pretty obvious. St. John's needs to hit some home runs. St. John's needs some firepower. And that's why we're talking about Dingle, because Dingle would add that firepower. But for the sake of this exercise, we're not sure if Jordan Dingle is going to come back. So they need scoring. You need some more depth, probably at the big spot, and you need some guards. There are three names right now that are percolating in the St. John's universe. The first is Davon Smith, point guard, transfer from Utah. You know, you're not going to remember him because he didn't play in the game that St. John's played against Utah. He was waiting. It was a 9-game wait for him to get eligible again. But when he came back, he was one of the best point guards in the country. And he is somebody that is electric. He's not big. He's 6 foot. But man, the kid can shoot it. He can pass it. And he is electric. He's somebody that would be a humongous, humongous addition at point guard for St. John's. Now, I know you're saying, well, Simeon Wiltshire is the point guard. Well, you need more guards. And there's a good chance that Sim can play the one and the two. Davon Smith, somebody that is really hot on St. John's radar. He's visiting Kentucky this weekend from what we hear. But St. John's, I do know, has made contact and they are working to get him on campus. The next two names kind of hit the waves of St. John's universe this afternoon. Norchad Omier, big man from Miami, went into the portal. Now, if you've been paying attention, Norchad was testing the NBA waters. Well, he went into the portal, so you kind of got to think that he got some reports, probably not going to get drafted. All right, well, let me go into the portal and check out some options. Now, first school that started to get mentioned that is interested in Norchad, it's St. John's. And according to some reports, Norchad went into the portal with a do not contact label. What that usually means is they know where they're going. So, where there's smoke, there's fire, they say. Could Norchad Omier be a Johnny? He is a 6'7 behemoth, 17 points, 10 rebounds per game, and was one of the cornerstone pieces for the Miami team that went to the Final Four 2 years ago. He is one of the best bigs in the country. You could say he's 6'7". He's small for a forward. Mm-mm. This dude plays big. He played the center spot often for Miami. If he comes here, he's probably playing the four. But my goodness, this would be one of those home runs that we talk about. And the other name, well, you might have heard of this name. There was a big name that went into the portal today. Norchad was pretty big. There's another one that was pretty big. That's Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall. The 6'6 point guard from Seton Hall, from Brooklyn, played at Syracuse as well, who has tormented St. John's, is into the portal. And for a while, he has been attached to St. John's. Yeah, there's been rumors. There's been rumors. Well, he went into the portal. And what are the first few things you see on social media? The favorite, Jeff Goodman, posts a tweet of Rick Pitino. My goodness, if you think the St. John's and Seton Hall rivalry was hot before, could you imagine what it could be if Kadari Richmond is in a red and white uniform walking into the Prudential Center next year? That would be something. Now, I will caveat all of this with, these are just rumors. Don't know what's going on. But man, it was an exciting afternoon. Frank, what in the world were you feeling when Norchad Omier and Kadari Richmond, within the span of 90 minutes, both kind of went into the portal and both got absolutely attached to St. John's?
Point of order. You mentioned the 9 games that it took for Davon Smith to get eligible. Just to be clear, the eligibility issue was that 2-time transfer rule. Yes. That was actually in effect at the start of the year. He fell into that trap. coming from Georgia Tech and I think Ole Miss before that. So it was his second time transfer. So that's why he had to sit out the first nine games until that court case was won. And hopefully we'll have a court case win of our own pretty soon.
Yes.
But so these three guys, these are the home runs. I think if you land two of these, you're probably a top 25 team to start the year with what we already have with Aaron Scott and Vince and the guys that are returning. So, you know, if you look at Evan Maya's rankings right now, Kadari, number one guy in the portal. Norchad, number five guy in the portal. So you're swimming with the big fish.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. So you're getting these big fish, and the beauty of this deep guy being tied is that, you know, tied to us this afternoon was that it wasn't a list of schools. It wasn't, hey, I'm visiting these four schools. It was St. John's is the team for both of these guys. And, you know, obviously a lot can change. These guys are in the portal now. You know, Kadari does not have a do not call label on him in the portal. So very possible he can entertain some calls as well. So, you know, we'll wait and see on those. But certainly they would be phenomenal additions. I love what Norchad Amir can bring to the table from a flexibility standpoint, from he can play multiple divisions. He can play the four, he can play the five. And, you know, if Zuby gets to that point where he can play the four competently and the five as he did this year, you know, now you've got a lot of versatility up front to go very big, go very small. You've got Aaron Scott there who can play the three or the four as well. Luis can play the three or the four as well. So now in those forward roles and the center role, you've got a lot of interchangeability to mix and match up with opponents. And I think that'll be huge, especially, you know, if you could go at one point with, you know, a 7 foot one Vince and a 6 foot eight guy who plays like he's 7 foot in Omir at the four. That would be a potent combo that most teams would have trouble matching up with in the front court. And, you know, that's why I really, really hope that there's some fire there where all this smoke is for Omir.
It's crazy because it's like normally we would be like, all right, let's temper expectations. Everybody relax. They're just, you know, it's just rumors. But like you said, I mean, within seconds of them going into the portal, it was they're attached to St. John's. And like, guys, we're St. John's. This doesn't happen to us. Like, we're not used to this. It's oh, St. John's being used for leverage. Blah, blah, blah. Like, no, these are two of the top portal guys. And the first thing you're hearing is that, hey, Rick Pitino and St. John's is the team to watch here. And then you have the whole fan base go absolutely bonkers. So it takes me to one more point, and I have to go back to my open with what I was lambasting Frank about. Everybody that was upset that for 35 days you did not land somebody. Now look at it in hindsight. If you took one or two of those guys in the first 14 days because you thought you had to fill a need or you wanted to rush, you just needed to fill a guy. Well, then a few days before the portal closes on May 1st and all these guys start to go into the portal, then you can't add these guys. Or you can, and you have to go way over your NIL budget and add a 14th, 15th, 16th guy if you really want to. And that's not really feasible or prudent, especially if you're St. John's. You know, you're not working with an Arkansas NIL budget. But that's how you look at it now, is that they were patient. And, you know, a few of us that preach patience, you know, this was kind of the reason why. You know, the staff knew that the week and a half leading up to this May 1st date, there was going to be a lot of names in the portal. I don't know if a lot of people thought Norchad Omir was going to be into the portal. Kadari Richmond has been rumored to be going into the portal for about 3 months, so that's not really a surprise. But my point is, this is why you don't rush. This is why you don't jump the gun. This is why also St. John's, you got to remember, they're in a very different position this year than they were last year. Last year, they had to fill a whole entire new roster. This time you're going into the portal season with eight guys already on your roster. You only had five, six spots that you really needed to fill. Six if you wanted to go over that number again and kind of be at 14 like you did last year. But in reality, you only have five spots. So you got to be a little bit more selective. They certainly were. I know for a fact, Rick Pitino was a lot more invested in the sense of doing personal evaluations. He wanted guys on campus who he could put through the workouts and really were going to get through those workouts that showed him something. And they were being calculated. They were being really picky, if you want to call it that. I think they were just being smart. And I think that they were taking some of the lessons that they learned last year and applying them this year and knowing, and they kind of anticipated what was going to happen. And it could very well pay off now if they do hit two of these home runs. potentially Davon Smith, potentially Norchad Omier, potentially Kadari Richmond, or hey, maybe Cliff Amori comes back to the fold. Who knows? But these are names that would catapult, as Frank said, St. John's up the rankings, puts them into the national spotlight, and then it's off to the races. It is off to the races in year two, because I know for a fact that Rick Pitino is going to use last year's snubbing of the NCAA tournament as fuel this whole year. This guy is not going to want to lose 2 years in a row. He is somebody that has always gotten his team so much better in year two. There's a lot of guys that were looking to take that step up in year two. These guys who were first-year players under Rick Pitino last year, RJ Lewis, Zubi Ejiofor, Simeon Wilcher, Brady Dunlap, getting that offseason to improve into year two of the system. It could be a tremendous year. Now you add some prime talent, potentially. You start getting really excited on April 25th.
Adding two of these guys makes you a top 25 team easily, maybe even a top 20 or top 15 team. And I think that's what you know, certainly with Omier anyway, and then Smith, these are two guys who are talented. They're names that are going to grab headlines, especially Omier. And they also fit the system and fit what Rick wants to do. They obviously fit the system. You know, Kadari, I think some people think he's not necessarily a system fit, but I think I've learned the lesson on this. I'm going to trust Rick. And if Rick's bringing Kadari in, it's because he believes he fit the system and had the work ethic and everything else that Rick looks for in his players. So, you know, if you can land any two of these guys, they'll be big splashes, big names, catch the national press, and, you know, like I said, you got to focus up the rankings and, you know, have a lot of hype heading into the season. And hopefully that translates into, you know, more fans in seats and, you know, a better atmosphere and all those type of things that we're hoping for and looking for out of the Rick Pitino era that might not necessarily be on the court wins.
Let's touch on this hypothetical. I know we have some very close Seton Hall fans who I'm sure are listening and are, you know, biting the side of their cheek right now thinking about Kadari Richmond potentially at St. John's. But let's just talk about the potential fit. Because I personally have been skeptical about Kadari Richmond fitting in at St. John's. Why? Well, it's no surprise and it's not a secret that there were issues between Kadari Richmond and head coach Shaheen Holloway. Rumors that there was NIL related, rumors that it was just them not getting along, but it lasted a while and it's not really a secret. So my first thought is, well, Rick Pitino is not exactly a guy that's going to let, you know, his players do what they want or play when they want, things like that. The other thing is, from a skill set perspective, Kadari is incredibly talented. Incredibly talented. He gets to the rim at will. He's humongous for a point guard. He can finish at the rim. He knows how to lead the offense. He's a great distributor, but he can't really shoot. He still finds a way to average about 15 points per game, if not more. You know, he scored 20 a bunch of times. So where do you think and how do you think he fits in a Rick Pitino system? You know, obviously we'll trust Rick Pitino and his talent judgment above everything else. And if he does come here and is a member of the St. John's Red Storm, I will root for him like all hell, like I do every kid who wears that jersey. I don't care where he played the year before, and I don't care about all the nasty things that I said about him when he wore that ugly Seton Hall blue. But I'm curious how you think he would fit under Pitino, how you think his skill set as a team that right now we're looking at it, you know, it really needs shooting. And he's not really somebody that can shoot the ball that well. Obviously, you know, you go through an offseason, want to get better, but what do you think about his fit really in a potential Rick Pitino system?
Shooting roles are a little bit overstated. He's not a elite shooter. He's not a guy who's ever going to take, you know, 5 3-point pointers a game at 40%. But you know, his career shooting percentage from deep is 33% on 1.5, you know, 1.5 attempts per game. Last season, he only shot 27%, but, you know, the season before that, he shot 44% from deep. So, you know, he's definitely capable, and I think Rick maybe sees something in his shot that he says, okay, I can work with that. I can make that shot better, make it a little more competent. Because if Kadari can get that shot a little bit better from deep and make teams respect his three-point game a little bit more, he just becomes an unstoppable force. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's got to be the hope with that part from a fit perspective. But, you know, the rest of it is he's athletic. He defends really well. He's a big guard. These are all things that Rick, you know, looks for in his guards. So, you know, I think from a fit perspective in every other way, he does fit really well. I think some people are a little bit worried about the attitude, but again, I think, you know, like I said, Rick has been very picky this offseason. I don't think he's going to, you know, upset that by bringing in somebody that he thinks is going to have a bad attitude or anything like that. I think if he's bringing Kadari in, it's because he trusts that Kadari's committed and wants to be here and is going to give his 110% every game, every practice.
And listen, Kadari is one of the best players in the Big East. He immediately is going to likely be first team preseason All Big East. You know, listen, again, all hypothetical. Norchad Omier goes right there, probably on the first team All preseason Big East list as well. These are not just big additions. These are monster additions. These are national headline stealing Arkansas, Kentucky, Duke type additions. And it could happen to St. John's. And apparently St. John's is in a really good position to maybe get it done. And I think that it would be quite the jolt into this fan base. What's really interesting is rewind 72 plus hours ago, and this fan base was pretty down. I'm looking at you, Frank, and how you're feeling now after what happened, not only the two additions of Vince Iwuchukwu and Aaron Scott, but now these rumors of who St. John's is attached to. I mean, you talk about a 180 of attitude within the fan base. You know, St. John's was trending on Twitter today.
You absolutely love it. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to be in those headlines. You want people to notice of you. It's certainly nicer, and you know, it feels good to be part of the national conversation, to be relevant. You know, I think if you can land Omier and one of these two guards, either Smith or Kadari, that is a phenomenal roster. And then, you know, God forbid Nickel comes back. Now you're looking at maybe a top 10 team in the country, at least on paper with that roster. And, you know, with Rick coaching a top 10 caliber roster, that could be a top 5 team very easy. So, you know, he's way getting ahead of ourselves here. There's work to be done to bring these guys home and reel them in. But, you know, certainly it is exciting and the future is bright. And, you know, I'm sure if these guys are not panning out, the staff still have one or two tricks or names up their sleeve that they can pull out on them. Still build a really good roster.
So there you have it. That's your recruiting roundup. A big Eye on the Storm podcast. Welcome to Vince Iwuchukwu and Aaron Scott, the first two additions to the Red Storm, as St. John's now has 10 guys on their roster. They are looking to fill three more. One more piece of news that did come out today. St. John's will be taking on Kansas State on December 7th. You could lock that date in. The location, not yet known. They're working on that. But St. John's in the Big 12 Big East Challenge will be taking on K-State. It's going to be a solid game. K-State is coached by the great Jerome Tang, who turned down Arkansas this year. So he'll be back trolling the sidelines at Kansas State. The Battle for Manhattan. I think our buddy Kevin Connolly said that that's what they should call this game. That's going to be fun. St. John's, of course, November 21st, November 22nd in Baja Mar, taking on Tennessee, Baylor, or Virginia in two games. That's going to be super awesome. I will be there. Frank, I think you're going to be there as well.
I am booked. I will be there.
That's right. My hotel room is booked as well, so definitely going to be down there. It's going to be awesome. And St. John's rest of the schedule is going to be trickling out over the next few weeks and months, I am sure. But that's your recruiting roundup. The first basically 35, 36, 37 days of the portal is here, and St. John's is firmly in the news cycle, and that's a good thing. Frank Wolfett, I'm David Barron. Thank you for listening. Johnny Nation, once we start getting some more news, we will be back. Hey, the St. John's have two home runs in them? Sure as hell hope so. If they do, we'll be back here to talk about it and celebrate. Johnny Nation, back up off that ledge. Things are going to be okay. Patience, patience, patience. I know it's hard to hear, but hey, you see what happens when you just wait a little bit. Johnny Nation, thank you for listening. Catch you guys.
You've been listening to the Eye on the Storm podcast. Go Johnnies!